I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars for the last time this year. Well, here we are, the last show of the year of 2020.
Yeah.
Well,
this has been the year for the podcast, hasn't it?
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's got a podcast now.
We're not special.
No, we're not special, but, you know, we hang in there. I can't remember. Is this the 37th episode we've done? Possibly 38th, because there was an episode zero, which I idiotically forgot about. It doesn't make any sense. So whatever the episode number, there's actually one more. But that's by the by. No one really cares. But we made it this far. And
I'd like to say thank you to everybody who has listened to it and or kind of name checked us to say how much they've enjoyed the podcasts. We get some really lovely heartwarming messages saying you've kept me sane, which I do find quite hard to believe given the amount of absolute toss we've been talking about. I think that would be the last thing I would expect us to do.
Yeah, I thought I was sane and then I heard you talking and I started to believe that I was losing my mind.
Yeah,
would be more, I would imagine, the way things would go. But no, it's nice. It's nice to hear that in some small way we have contributed to entertaining people.
Lifted the load during
the year. It's been a bit weird this year, but
it has.
There we go.
I'm actually recording this from my spare room / office, and because I haven't been up here for 3 or 4 days, I turned the heating off, and I realised just before recording this with you, oh no, I haven't put the heating on, so I've come up here with a Christmas jumper over a Christmas jumper. And I've got quite
a turducken of Christmas jumpers,
and I've got quite a large coat on. So I feel like I could be one of the lesser known E17 singers doing Stay Now.
And Stay Now.
But I think I said this last year to you. I'm convinced they're saying Stainer. It just says Stainer. And in the video, one of them is crouching in a very suspicious way. You know, like they've sort of soiled their gusset.
Well, and the other three are pointing at him and going, Stainer.
Oh, one of them's chocolate logging. One of them's chocolate logging. And
he's
the other
a Stainer.
One's gone. Look at him. Look at Tony. What a Stainer. He's gone, oh, does anyone want a Brussels sprout smoothie? Yeah, yeah, go on, give it to Stainer. Oh, no, he sneezed and he just ever so slightly damaged his gusset. And that's what I always think about that song, although it is a great Christmas song, I believe.
Yeah.
Some terrible clothes in the video, but apart from that, I'll let it off.
I tell you what, before while I was waiting for us to start recording, I was just dicking around because I thought, oh, it's going to be our Christmas episode, this. I wonder if I can put some sleigh bells on top of our normal music.
And?
No, it doesn't work. I'll be honest, because I just found a loop of sleigh bells, and obviously they were the wrong
Well, if you'd
tempo.
Let me know. I've got one on the tree. I could have brought it up and given it a jingle.
Oh, live sleigh bells. Yeah, see, I just got a pre-recorded loop, but I'll try it again. So if you're listening to this now and the show opened with some sleigh bells over the music, you'll know that I managed to do that. If it doesn't, ignore all of this. But
this
obviously
so
we record. It only occurred to me, this is how fucking professional we are, it only occurred to me like 2 weeks ago. I suddenly thought, we do that opening thing where we go, you know, blah, 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 Smith and Sniff, and this week we talk about it, and then we say something. And I was like, do people know that we record that at the end and then I drop it on the beginning later? Or do they think we do it live and it's all one thing? In which case, it sort of suggests that we plan what we're talking about. And I suddenly thought, oh no, because
we
very much don't plan what we're talking about. And
right.
I would hate to give that impression. So, yeah. I might be overthinking this, but this was... I feel like we're having a production meeting now, but we're accidentally it's the show.
I
as
feel
well,
a little so. Bit like we're having a production meeting. No, we don't plan it. People think we script this, and Jeez. Believe me, we don't. In fact, sometimes we don't know anything until we press record, do we? We haven't said anything.
Well,
about honest, anything.
This week, looking at my little document of things that I want to talk to you about, and I've got nothing except I've noted down a little fact that I'm going to share at the end that's Christmas relevant, and then that's it. All I've got is still got fizzy yogurt written there. I'm not deleting it until I figured it out, so that's still there. And then I've got your...
What did I send to you in the middle of the night that I wanted to talk about?
Well, you last week you tantalisingly mentioned the Network Q VHS porn collection, and was that right? Am I getting it right?
Oh yeah.
And then didn't. So I feel like we have to pick up that discarded avenue of filth.
It was a guy that I met a couple of weeks ago, and who used to work many years ago for Vauxhall in the early 90s, when I think they first. Computerized their used car network, so you could search. He said this is when you could search for whatever car you wanted in whatever dealer, and you could say, oh yeah, you're looking for a white Astra, yeah, we've got one, we can get it to you to this dealer for £100 for you to look at. Are you interested? Yeah. Anyway, he said, oh, but of course we used to have our own database. There was a bloke, I actually can't remember the guy's name. I think it was something like Grotty John. And Grotty John used to, apparently, in this Vauxhall dealership, he ran his own private adult film VHS library.
What?
And it was like a cupboard or a filing cabinet, and it had a booking in and out system. And so it was free to all the workers, but you had to obviously make sure that you would book things in and out, and it was very methodical. Yeah, apparently it was a thing. And I said, I couldn't stop laughing because I just thought, you know, imagine if Vauxhall actually offered this as a network. You go in to buy yourself a Calibra and you end up with, I don't know, Fantastic Twats Volume 5. But yeah, it was it's just brilliant. So I thought that's with the dawning of with the internet, that's just all dissolved, hasn't it?
And yeah,
I said to the guy, I said, do you still keep in touch with this bloke, whatever his was, Grotty John or whatever his name was? He goes, oh no, I've wondered what became of him. And I'm thinking, does he still have the library? Is it like a stillborn library? It just sits in a loft, or is it...
Maybe it's been donated to, you know, like there's... there is or was a National TV Museum in Bradford, maybe?
Oh, and yes.
Maybe somewhere like that, you know, a museum of yeah. media.
Yeah.
BAFTA, maybe. I know that BAFTA in central London has just, they've just refurbished their premises, and perhaps...
Oh, there's definitely room, you know,
they
for
could
a
have a sort of a lovely
grot library.
A grot library in there. Yes, yeah. This is the Ian McKellen room where you can have functions and so on. And this is an old steel filing cabinet full of bongo vids, which you'll notice has got a sticker of a Nova SRI on the front of it. So that's a lovely little artifact there.
Oh, and he did say, actually, he said one day they played a trick on one of the workers. He said, oh, I've got a day off tomorrow, and my wife's going to be at work, so I'm just going to spend the whole day watching adult videos. And he booked a few out.
The
workers looked at what he was booking out, and they apparently changed all of the videos for Astra promo videos. so that he put the video in the cassette player, and it was just talking about the aspirational new Vauxhall Astra when he had perhaps had his trousers down by his ankles, which they thought he came in the day after, the week after, and was apparently blue in the face, furious that they'd completely he'd wasted his opportunity.
I mean, there's an awful lot to take in on this, but
is,
mainly the
is.
Idea that salesmen would pop in and go, yeah, I'm just taking the keys to the Blue Carlton, that's all right, and also yeah, I'll have Mega Boob 7 while I'm here, please.
Yeah, it's no problem, mate, no problem.
What was his name? Grotty what? Sorry, not
Grotty John.
John.
His code name was Grotty John. Code name.
Oh man, there was a VHS that was sort of passed around our school year of one of the Emmanuel movies. So
I've still never watched one, I don't think.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's very much your softcore end of the pornographic market, but it's, you know, porn nonetheless. And I mean, it was, you know, the way that VHSs used to get very sort of crackly, fuzzy, because just the tape would start to
just
wear out.
Just overrun, yeah.
Yeah, this poor tape had just been passed around. But also, it was labelled, it had a... I can't remember what it was labelled. It was like labelled some sort of documentary or something, very bland, so that if your parents found it, they would. It didn't say smut on the spine.
Oh no, it said Police Academy 3.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's a high risk strategy, because there's always a danger that someone will find it and go, "Oh, Police Academy 3. I don't think I've seen that one. I'm just going to pop it on." Oh no!
I always thought that you have to tread so carefully, don't you, with the with what film you are going to replace its name with, in case it's got to be uninteresting to everybody.
Well, everybody. I mean, yeah. Network Q used car sales training video volume 7 or something would probably do quite nicely if you wanted to really put people off the scent. I don't know. Maybe some people are highly aroused by in-house used car scheme.
I have to say, I would love to have watched an original Senator promotional video. I don't know if such a thing exists. I'm sure it does.
Oh, they did. I mean, a lot of this stuff is online now. It's on YouTube because definitely.
Of course,
I've seen Austin Rover and Ford stuff.
Jackie Stewart Scorpio or whatever it was that we found was just amazing.
The Jackie Stewart and Frank Boff.
Yes,
the recently deceased Frank Boff.
Yeah. What was... Oh, you've reminded me. What was that DM that I got sent on by a listener on Instagram that I forwarded to you? Because it was really funny.
Yeah.
About a car that they bought.
I've got to dig it out. It's here.
It's _Jimny. It's _Jimny. He owns a Jimny, but he's been talking about Jimny mods and things with me via DM. But he did put... thanks for all the things you guys have been doing this year. Shout out to Rich with the podcast. I listen to it on my run and I always end up laughing as I go.
How do people listen to, I mean, I on can't a run, listen to I spoken word on a run. Certainly
no,
if
I
think it's something that might amuse me, which it'd just be...
No,
yeah.
I need something aggressive. Or
yeah, we talked about this before because there's a certain sort of tempo of music that's about right for running, and I've realised I had a sort of shuffly playlist on, and Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler came on, and that is
too fast. It's because someone's accidentally tweaked the tempo. They've pressed it three too many times on the keyboard.
Yeah,
and it's just going off on one.
Why is that LCD display say 170? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, let's just do it. It's insane. And the other thing, the original version of that song, certainly the one that I've got somewhere on a playlist that crops up occasionally, it's like they can't figure out how to turn off all the machines either. At the end, it just keeps on going.
Way too much.
It really is. And there's someone going over the top of it. But can you turn that machine off? No. Pull the plug out. I don't want to do that.
It's like the night after a house party, a really big one, and everyone's just asleep and bedraggled and things are all broken, but in the corner there might be a drum machine that's just been left going... It's the soundtrack to the night that no one's remembered.
Anyway, so the message this bloke...
He said,
send you.
I nearly chipped in with an interesting idea to chat about cars with dodgy past owners. I somehow managed to buy a Rover 75 V8 off Stuart Hall when he got sent to prison. Was a bit of a lame story off the independent garage in Wilmslow, where you're from, aren't you, Rich?
Yeah, and off the independent garage in Wilmslow. I'm trying to think which one that is.
And his name, and I thought they were fibbing, but then his name was on the V5 when the car came. I guess that must have been the reason it was so cheap. I managed to sell that on for $3,000 more than I paid after 2 years. Not bad, eh? There you go, Rover 75 V8.
No, that's a rare
groove.
Yeah. I seem to remember that during the time I lived in Wilmslow, that Stuart Hall used to be seen around in a Cadillac at some points.
Of course
STS.
He did. Um, uh, I d- what a... I, a friend of mine's uncle owned an ex Rolf Harris Mercedes 124.
And was that had it got like a signed sun visor or something?
It did, yes, it had the kangaroo and his name on the sun visor, yeah.
Which once would have been highly prized, and then suddenly it's like he gets busted and goes to prison.
Has to quickly sell it, yeah.
Yeah, that's not suddenly an attractive feature on any car, but...
No.
Anyway,
exactly.
I'm desperately searching for the exit from this roundabout of celebrity paedophilia.
Oh, let's just go back to E17.
Okay, Stainer,
Brussels sprout with gusset trousers.
I've once again had quite a lot of coffee, and I was on the phone to a mate earlier on, and I said I'm a bit giddy on coffee. And I realised that Gideon Coffee sounds like someone who takes you through the middle of the night on Jazz FM.
Oh, he's...
I'm Gideon Coffee. He's taking you through to 6 a.m. here on Jazz FM.
Gideon Coffee, you know, he's always listening to a lot of Herb Alpert.
Yeah.
He's well into all that.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy, but somehow he can't get the break. He's forever on the graveyard slot, and I don't know why.
That's because he smokes in the studio when he's been explicitly told not to. But he says, well, because it's 3 a.m. and there's no one around, and he's found a way to just disable all the smoke. He just lights one up and seals the doors and just goes, I'm just going to live and breathe the moment, man.
The station controller is calling him and going, Gideon, we've had complaints from the breakfast show again that
absolutely
the studio
stinks.
Smelled very smoky this morning when they started, okay? Just knock it off. Speaking, as we sort of seem to have done a few times on the podcast about DJs and being surprised at what they look like, I watched... Do you know that infamous performance of Blue Monday that New Order did on Top of the Pops where they played it all live? Even though there was no requirement to do that whatsoever. Everyone mimed on Top of the Pops back then, you know.
They did, yeah.
Because it was the early 80s. And but New Order went, no, we always play live. Whenever we play live. And I think Bernard Sumner, the lead singer, had said, well, we don't have to. And the rest of the band went, no, we do. That's one of the things. That's we're New Order. We always play live. And so he was overruled because they were quite democratic back then. And they played, even though all of the machines were quite temperamental, and it's and you know, and the studio wasn't set up. Yeah, well, that's the thing. All those old keyboards and drum machines and things. You know, they were quite fragile, and they didn't sync up very well. You know, this was pre MIDI when musical instruments suddenly started talking to each other properly. It was like it was all a bit Heath Robinson, and Top of the Pops wasn't set up for live performance, so. You know, the audio mixing was pretty shitty. It's terrible. I mean, it's brilliantly terrible. It's great. Okay. You should go and watch it. It's on YouTube. But the reason I bring this up is because I watched it on YouTube yesterday. And the performance is introduced by... I can't remember his name. The DJ who actually does the talking. But he's standing next to him silently is Steve Wright, looking very rat-faced... As he did in the 80s.
Oh, he did have quite a ratty face.
A really ratty face. Reactor lights and rat face. That's Steve Wright's look from that era.
Oh, a double R. Yeah. I don't like reactor lights. Can I just say that? I think they were a good invention, but they don't suit anybody.
No.
I'm sorry, but they just don't.
And no, they don't.
As someone that used to wear glasses, I would go the extra mile and I'd order subscription sunglasses and just have them
subscription sunglasses.
Prescription sunglasses. Yes, I used to get.
If your payments lapse, has that only become clear? Oh, now I'm blinded by the sun.
You know, it's one of those things where one of those adverts where it's like you get one piece sent through the post every couple of weeks, and you put together your ultimate subscription sunglasses. And it's just really convenient. There's 800 issues, and they're £7 each. and all year, you're trying to get enough parts for this fucking pair of sunglasses, which you needed months ago.
I was going to say, who does those things? But funnily enough, a friend of mine, or someone you know as well, I won't name him, but he did the James Bond DB5 one. You get a little piece of an Aston Martin with a magazine every week. I mean, it must have cost him like 90 grand. He could have had one hand-carved out of fucking ivory for that. It's, but yeah. So I was going to say who does those, but people must do. I know someone who did.
People, it's just people who are worse at maths than me, and I didn't. And there's not that many people, I don't think, who just gone. I think I know what. Yeah, I could just go out and buy a really nice Tamiya radio controlled kit and have it delivered for about £150 and have it within 2 days. No, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait 7 months. There's going to be bits missing, and it's costing me £600 for something definitely worse that I could have told was going to be worse the minute I read the brief. They go, yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, it's a great.
I'm absolutely cool.
Oh, and
with
I get a flimsy magazine as well.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
It's like buying a second-hand jigsaw, which is really intricate, and then only finding out at the end that there's three pieces that got flushed out a toilet many years ago. You never go to find them.
Or taking home a VHS cassette of
an Astra promotional video when you're expecting to see skin.
Yeah.
Driving home for Christmas. I just can't wait to see their faces. They're all arguing. They're all on their devices. Driving home for Christmas. Nobody looks up to say hi to Dad because they're all on their fucking devices.
I listened to that song yesterday, or I heard it, and it's really jazzy, isn't it?
I love it. Yeah. Do you know, I don't get bored of it. I can hear it. I can probably hear it 4 or 5 times a day at the moment, and I'm just not bored. Yeah, it's just the brushes on the drums are nice, and
it's the piano.
The piano is very
it's jazzy.
Bright. It's a bright song, and even though you know Chris Rea is probably smoking while singing it, it's okay. I'm okay with that. he probably is, isn't he? He hasn't even bothered
Brick
to extinguish
of tabs for Christmas.
Carton
Hope
of B&H.
I get the full 200. Yeah, I see that song is one of many Christmas songs that just still to this day, more than 20 years down the line, gives me a massive flashback to working in Next at Christmas. Because what used to happen back in the day, again, God, this is full. Tell us more about obsolete tape formats, Grandad, because we used to get sent through tapes, cassette tapes, in the post from head office.
Yeah.
And there was a tape machine in a cupboard in the branch, and every month you got a new tape of music, and the policy was you put the new tape on, but you were allowed to then rotate with tapes from the previous months up to, I think, you're supposed to do sort of like you're allowed the last previous 2 months or something. I guess maybe there's a PRS reason as well, which people used to do because they get sick of the same tape on loop. But then Christmas would come around and the Christmas tape would arrive, and with some horror the envelope with the Christmas tape would be opened in about the first week of November, and the policy was you had to put there's a point at which you had to put the Christmas tape on, and then you were supposed to just play the Christmas tape. And sometimes we didn't, and we would slip in one of the normal tapes just to give ourselves a break. But if the area manager came by and he heard that you weren't playing Christmas music by the start of December, I think there'd be trouble. And as a consequence, and there's only so many Christmas songs. It's a finite number of Christmas songs that are deemed acceptable to play in shops.
It's true, that, isn't it? But I feel like the scope broadens by the year, because there's another Christmas song probably becomes over 10 years old, and so it's settled into the community a bit and it's allowed. I've noticed that as I've got a bit older, I've noticed some of the songs go, oh yeah, that's stood the test of time, that one, it's allowed in.
It's funny, isn't it? The
Coldplay one, that well, my wife will hate it, but she doesn't like any Coldplay music, but I actually think it's a good Christmas song, and I think it probably is 10 years old now, that song.
I think
it's bedded in. I think it's bedded in. It's seen a bit of action. It's got a few memories latched onto it.
So it's allowed to be. It's allowed to be on the list. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because there's a great Christmas album by, do you know Ash? Remember the band Ash? I think it's still going, actually.
Yes,
Tim Wheeler,
Girl from Mars.
Tim Wheeler, the lead singer of Ash, and his then girlfriend, who is a musician as well. She performs under the name Emmy the Great, and who is a really good singer and songwriter in her own right. But they got together, well, when they were boyfriend girlfriend, they made a Christmas album, and I think it's really good. And it's a little bit quirky, but it's not like madly strange or anything. It's got all the sort of requisite bits of Christmassiness, like sort of, you know, bells and shit. And it's really good. There's one track in particular called Home for the Holidays, which is sort of about that feeling you get when you go back to your parents and see people you were at school with. So it's a good sort of, when you're in your 20s, it's a particularly resonant song. And I'll always stick that on around Christmas because it makes me feel Christmassy. But I once played it at home. My wife just went, "What's this?" And I went, "It's a Christmas album." She went, "No, it's not." I was like, "But it is. I mean, it's actually a Christmas album. All the songs reference Christmas." She's like, "No, but it's not. It's not a Christmas album." I was like, "But it is." "No, it's not a Christmas album." And it was the same thing. She's like, "I don't know these songs, so they are not admissible into the canon of Christmassy things." And that's what happens with Christmas music, I think, isn't it?
I think absolutely right. And we all know there's a couple of accidental Christmas songs, isn't there, that aren't strictly Christmas songs, but they feel Christmassy enough, and so they're allowed in. Yeah, I like Christmas songs. I'm a big fan of the Jethro Tull one, which isn't played very often. It's still probably my favourite Christmas song. It's the very 70s. Yeah. I think it's called Ring Out Solstice Bells. but it's brilliant because there's a lot of echo kind of jazz flute in it, which is not the most Christmassy. There's not the most Christmassy on the face of it instrument, the sort of overly energetic, breathy flute. However, no. I think it really works, and I play it a lot. And but I think it was one of those Christmas songs that when I first heard it, I probably didn't give it the time of day. And over the last 20 years, it's worn me down. You know, like an aggressive male duck trying to mate. It's just kept chasing me and pecking me down. And I've got one Christmas, I've just gone, "Oh, go on then. Just go on." And I love the fact that every time Fairy Tale in New York comes on, my kids, especially my daughter, would go, "Daddy, I know this is a Christmas song because I hear it every year, but the man can't sing." And I go, "Yeah." I have to say, you're absolutely right. He's a troubled man.
And, I sent you that clipping from Pop Bitch a few weeks ago, where it records a sighting of Shane McGowan doing something that you've done. So I now am aware of two people who have drunk a whole pint of Baileys.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Was that Christmas or was that New Year when you drank?
Let me get this right. I'm pretty sure that was just before Christmas. Oh no. That was New Year's Eve. It was New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve. I did it twice, but yeah, both times. So I remember I did do it twice, and they were both New Year's Eve. Actually, one of them I didn't fall ill, and one of them I did. So one of them I went for a walk in the garden. So, you know, you do
drink
that at
a pint
house
of Baileys, there's a 50% chance that you're going to bunder in someone's garden. That's what statistically we can draw from that.
I remember lying down chatting to a bloke I didn't know about this certain breed of aquarium fish with a bit of vomit round my chin, probably.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was such an interesting man back then. Off of 17.
I was going to say, the Christmas song that I always find a bit odd and possibly not a Christmas song, but somehow it is, I think it might actually have Christmas in the lyrics, is Stop the Cavalry.
Yeah, Joan and Louis.
Which is basically about war. And it's quite a bleak song, I always think. It's got like a sort of
It's got an
it's jolly, but it's not jolly. It's really bleak. And
you're absolutely right. The umpire is definitely disguising the somberness of the... although it's my daughter's favourite Christmas song. Yeah, it's her favourite Christmas song. Yeah.
The one that I find is sort of like a... You know, sometimes there's things that smell bad, but you can't stop smelling them. Like...
usually a dead mouse behind the fridge. That's the one I can't be doing with.
Well, no, but I'll give you an example now. Don't be too repulsed by this, but when you... the smell of your wrist after you remove a leather watch strap.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's an odd smell, but there's something compelling about it. But at the same time, you kind of go, oh.
Yes.
It's kind of weird. You're like, you.
Oh, yeah.
It's both horrible and intriguing. And I feel the same way about Christmas wrapping by the waitresses.
Earwax.
What?
Well, earwax has an interesting smell. It's not pleasant, but it's not quite repulsive either.
Well, actually, sometimes you get that smell when you sneeze. Like that snot actually has a smell. You go,
oh yeah,
what
it does.
Was that?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's just talk about the smell of snot and skin.
That song, song by the Waitresses, unnecessarily complicated bass line, but I love it. That song's all about the bass.
I just find it. I find it annoying, and yet I can't. I wouldn't turn it off in the way that I would turn off, say, my humps or something, because it's just absolute shit.
One song I am very bored of and I don't want to hear it again is Elton John, Step Into Christmas. Because it just annoys me, I'm afraid.
Has that been used on an advert but with the words changed? Or am I imagining that?
Oh, I'm sure it has.
I just feel like it's sort of, I've heard it going like, step into Tesco, da 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 da, and you go...
Oh, probably.
But maybe not, maybe it's like, looking at a light bulb and looking away. I still see it.
I like the one by, I can't remember what it's called. I Believe in Father Christmas by Greg Lake. Is it by Greg Lake?
What, of Emerson, Lake and Palmer?
I think it's by off of Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Yeah, it's a really good song. This is lyrically very interesting. Anyway, starting to feel like I'm sitting here talking to you wearing two Christmas jumpers. I'm starting to get.
Yeah, you're currently the most Christmassy man in Britain, but
I'm not. Yeah. I don't do a daily turkey or a daily present opening ceremony because that would just be strange.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you probably should talk to someone about that if that's the kind of thing you have to. Is that I wish it could be Christmas every day. No, you don't, because the novelty would wear off, and secondly, all the shops would be shut and you'd eventually starve to death. So careful what you wish for.
No, no one wants it to be Christmas every day. I mean, what a stupid idea. Stupid. No. You'd have to play a board game with your parents every day. I've got time for that.
You'd probably be at your parents' house
every day, means you'd effectively live at home with your parents again. Yeah. Is that what this song's all about? Just going home and living with your parents again.
Oh, dear.
Going home to see my parents. It's usually not. It won't be on Christmas Day, but like a few days before. And then, and I usually sleep under the Christmas tree. And I have to say, it gives me an incredible...
What?
Yeah, I do it. I've done it many, many times over the years.
Like a cat?
Like a much longer, less hairy, more snory cat. Yeah. Right. I get a thin mattress or a an unzip a sleeping bag with put a duvet on, and I will sleep under the Christmas tree next to the nativity, and I will leave the twinkling fairy lights on all night. And it feels very special. Sleeping under a tree feels very special.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What would you imagine that Roy Wood, out of Wizard, who wished it was Christmas every day, what do you imagine that he would drive? Because I sort of know the answer to this, but I would welcome your guesses.
Well, I mean, you talking about Roy Wood when he got enough money from being in the successful glam rock style band, or...
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, let's
I mean,
I'll
obviously
I'm going to
say Rolls Shadow, because everyone of that era that was a musician drove a Rolls Royce Shadow.
No, that's fair enough. I bet he did. All right. What would you imagine that Roy Wood was driving in 1998 when I saw him getting out of his car?
1998. It'd be great if it was a BMW Z1.
Oh, man. Hey, well, speaking as we were, I was earlier on about New Order. Bernard Sumner, the lead singer of New Order, had a Z1 for years.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's just pretty cool. It's one of your favourite bands as well, isn't it?
One of my favourite bands and a car that I really like as well. So.
You do?
Yeah,
you do
but Roy Wood, no, sadly not a Z1. That would have been incredible. A glam rock Z1, but no.
I'm trying to think.
It was
a Vauxhall Omega Estate.
Ooh.
Was it?
You're in the ballpark.
Not a Bug Eye Scorpio.
No.
Okay.
It was. I'm questioning my own memory, but I sort of at the same time I can see it quite vividly, because when I worked at BBC Pebble Mill, and our office at that point was on the ground floor, it was the old Pebble Mill at One studio that had been turned into an office, so it had floor-to-ceiling windows that looked out over the front of the building and the lawn before you got to the road, and there was a little access road where if you were, you know, a VIP, you were allowed to park your car. So Roy Wood must have been appearing on some show or something. So he turns up, and we could see him from our office get out of his car, and he had a Volvo 760 saloon.
Oh,
the one with the very upright back window.
Yeah, I do like the upright back window. It looks very Buick.
Yeah,
it looks very American of that era. Oh, that's quite cool.
Yeah, it's all
isn't
it? Saloon as well. He was, of course. I mean, this is, you know, this is Roy Wood in very much his, you know. I mean, I don't know what era you would call it—the era of him still being Roy Wood, but obviously not. Wizard aren't exactly. I don't know. Were they a touring entity at that point? Probably not.
He probably made so much money in the 70s. I mean, it was before my time, really. But, I mean, I watched that video, the Christmas video, and you can tell he gets quite aggressive in the middle. like this is the 15th take, and he's really over it. slightly angry Christmas. Go on, everyone. Have a fucking good Christmas. And then it's, okay, you lot, take it. In other words, like this is the sixth time I've asked you children to sing, and if you don't do it now, I'm going to go and drink gin really hard, and then I'm going to come back on stage and just smash something up.
I just typed in
Roy Wood
car.
He's had some motors, I believe.
Something interesting has come up, a Bentley Mulsanne S. The advert is written in a really weird way. Bentley Mulsanne S Style 8 V8. I don't know what they're trying to say here, but it's a 1989. Oh, it's a Bentley 8, okay, but it's been... this is, yes, anyway. Just seven owners from new, six previous owners, and in excellent condition, having been very little used, including by the most recent owner, musician Mr. Roy Wood of Wizard. Notoriety. Notoriety. he'd owned it since 2008. It looks like there's a current ad.
The vehicle was
dry-stored for a period of blah, 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 yeah.
I've just typed in Roy Wood, and the first thing that comes up is roywoodtransits.co.uk.
I feel like it might be a different Roy Wood, but who
Roy
knows?
Wood Transits are a family firm established in 1970 by Roy Wood, just 5 years after Ford launched the Transit. We are proud of the excellent reputation associated with this class-leading van and win much of our new business from personal recommendations. The core of our business is van sales. You don't say, because it's called Roy Wood Transits. There you go. We specialise in graffiti removal, oversized Luton bodies and specialist tail lifts, and we also use our engineering creativity to play. Roy Wood was one of the first people to fit a 3-litre V6 into a Transit in the 70s. There you go. That's not the Roy Wood I was expecting.
No, well, I mean, or is it?
Although, maybe it is. Maybe Roy Wood is driving around in one of those MST vans, the Malcolm Wilson... slightly jingle jangle rally inspired
transit
bolts. Do you know what? I love on social media that quite a few people are starting to use the term spolts.
Yeah,
when any mention of spolts is mentioned.
As we look back on the life of this podcast so far and on this year that we've just had, It's been a mixed bag, but we can certainly say with something approaching pride that we have introduced spolts, some kind of lexicon of some kind. So there we go.
It's just this constant battle of how to spell it correctly, and it changes by the week.
It's like currency exchanges or you know, pork belly futures. You know, it goes up and down. The spelling changes. It's very fluid. That's part of the joy of sport.
I wish it could be sport every day.
Anyway, so well, as you know, as we sort of as we come to the end of the year, we look forward to the next year. I was going to ask you what your plans are in a sort of car related way.
My plans are...
There's an open goal here for you to sell your Honda, by the way, so I'm going to encourage you to
tell. Oh, yeah. So my Honda S600 Coupe has to sell. It's going up for sale. It's going up for auction, actually, probably. So around about when this comes out. And the monkey bike of the same year, I have got a rather interesting... 2021 project, which I haven't given details on yet, but it's a very nice, quirky Japanese Tokyo taxi, ex-Tokyo taxi, Nissan Cedric, that runs exclusively on LPG.
It run exclusively on LPG?
Yes, it only has an LPG tank. You can't run it on anything else, yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. Is that...
Yeah,
a nuisance or not?
It's actually okay because the tank is massive. I was a bit worried at first that it didn't have a very good range, and I quickly realised I think it has about 600 kilometre range. It's colossal. The bottle in the back is colossal.
Is that the law? Do Tokyo taxis have to run on LPG, or is it just something that they choose?
Yeah,
to?
It is. Yeah, and they have done for years.
Oh, right.
So that car is one of those instances where it's an old model that obviously they keep making, a bit like the Ford Crown Vic, and then towards the end of its life, they only make them for fleet. You can't buy one of them. You have to buy dozens of them, I guess.
Well, yeah, I was quite fascinated by this. Because every car, no matter whether it's just sold to fleets or what have you, still has to have... at least somebody within a car company who is sort of technically responsible for it, you know, say there's a recall or something like that. There is usually a what they would call a program team associated with the car, or it's like, you know, there'll be model year updates that just have to happen for legislation reasons or what have you. And I was always fascinated by the Crown Vic and its dotage, because I was like, I just imagine there's some poor fucker deep within Ford's office in Detroit who is solely responsible for the Crown Vic, because everybody else has lost interest and gone to work on other things. And I mentioned this once to somebody who said, no, that is definitely true, that is how it works, because at one point in the 90s or early 2000s, the old-shaped Land Rover Defender... there were two blokes at Land Rover who were responsible for it, and that was it. Everybody else had basically moved
given up.
It was assumed the car would be killed off quite soon, but so there were just these two blokes in an office in Solihull who were the Defender team in case anything came up, and they hatched this plan to keep it alive by slicing the body shell down the middle and widening it a little bit to give it more elbow room, and they thought they could rejuvenate the Defender, and they had one, or they tried to make one. And it got scuppered because it would have been too expensive to have all the extra bits you'd have needed, like new windscreen and tailgate glass and grill and all these other bits. They could have done the tin bashing bit because it was made in an old-fashioned way, but making other bits wider to suit, they couldn't quite make it stick. And they would have kept the same overall width because they'd have deleted the wheel arches, extensions, rather.
How strange. Didn't know that.
And it was just these two blokes, two men in an office in Solihull, just a bit bored because they had nothing to do. But that's the thing, it's always fascinating to me, cars, these end-of-life cars, or these ones that are sort of, you know, they've just settled into, basically, they're being brought to a dignified end, but it just dwindles.
And well, the people Crown keep Vic's ordering them, that's the thing, isn't it? People go, well, can I just get another 200, though? And then another person says the same, and before you know it, you've got... you're going to have to just press the button on another couple of thousand of them. It's like, oh, for goodness sake. It's like the VW trying to wind the Beetle down, and it never quite happened for years.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's like I always try and say to my son when he goes, he come home from school and go, you know, infinity's the biggest number. And I'd be like, yeah, well, it's a bit more complicated than that, because whatever number you think of, you could add one to it, and then it would be a bigger number. So there's no such thing as the biggest number, because you could always add one to it, or 10 to it, or 100 to it. And it's the same with trying to stop making the Beetle. Right, we're going to stop tomorrow. Oh, seven people have ordered them today. Bollocks! All right, day after tomorrow. I just had another two orders in. Darn! Pagani Zonda seems to suffer from the same problem.
Horatio.
More rarefied level.
He is irate. Horatio is just, he's cross all the time. He's running around like that. You know, like that white-painted man that's the nemesis of Pink Panther? but I can't remember. Do you know? I've forgotten the name of it. I think the character does have a name, but he's basically a very simply sketched man that's just painted whitewashed with, I think, two hairs on the top of his head. He's always incredibly stressed out. That's Horatio Pagani, and he's just just windmilling around after drinking espresso, just going, I can't fucking believe it. People still want that really old one. I'm not going to build anymore. That is it now. I'm cross. And if the phone rings in the next like 10 minutes and somebody inquires about any parts, anything to do with the Zonda, I'm just going to give them both barrels, and the phone will ring and go, hi, it's some wealthy guy from the UAE.
It's Lewis Hamilton here. I really want a Zonda, please. You can fuck. Mr. Hamilton. Yes, of course. What, wait, purple one? Yeah, no problem at all.
Of course.
Hang on a minute. I've got the Sultan of Brunei on the other line. Just hang on a sec. You want what? Yes, of course, your Sultancy. Yes.
You want what? A rainbow weave throughout yours, and you want three others for your friends. Crying in a bucket. Okay.
And another one as well for your wife, and two more for your brother. Okay, you're fine. I'll just keep making it.
It's the never ending Zonda.
I think that in the end, Horatio Pagani's just going to go full Reggie Perrin and fake his own death.
Just to stop the Zonda saga.
Just to stop having to make Zondas. I've had it with you people.
I mean, Harry Metcalf tried to help him out by selling his so that that it wouldn't get talked about so much.
Yeah. Also putting another Zonda into the market so that someone wouldn't order a new one. But then they went, I do like Zondas.
But unfortunately, it tripled in value, and so everyone went, maybe now's the time to buy Zonda before it triples again. No, don't do that.
No, we don't make Zondas, apart from these two we're making for those rich people who were angry yesterday. Damn it.
Or he'll just go overnight, he'll just absolutely just flip, and he'll start giving away Zondas. Just to cheapen
like those super rich people who just go mad and start throwing money out of a tower block window in movies.
Yeah, just handing marble statues out to passers-by and stuff. You know, just like, and oil paintings that are priceless. Yeah, it'll just go, right, that's it. I'm going to give away 5 Zondas in the next 24 hours, and that's going to cheapen the
everyone's,
market.
I'm giving Zondas to people, so now Zondas are going to become worthless. There's no point in buying one unless you really want one. Oh, you do really want one. Damn, okay, fine, I'll make you one. When will this nightmare end?
Victim of his own success. I'm going to go back to Lamborghini or wherever I came from. Was it Lamborghini? I think it was.
Yeah.
Can't remember. Damn it. Yeah. So that's the story of... of Horatio. Yeah.
Horatio Pagani's living nightmare of never-ending Zondas.
Horatio. It's Horatio.
It's Horatio.
It's Horatio.
Horatio Steering.
Horatio Pagani.
Is his full name. Low Horatio Gearbox. I don't know. What is it?
That's really... Low Horatio Gearbox. That's...
that was his nickname at school. It's all predestined. The Crown Vic, speaking of this, though, they had a bit of a thing with that. When they said, well, that's it, we're going to stop making them, they had a massive run on orders of that because...
they did have a flurry. People got scared.
The police fleets and the cab fleets across the US, and they went, oh, shit, we want them and we want to stockpile them. The reason being, they had all the parts. Yep. So in terms of running a fleet, it was just cheaper to keep running Crown Vics. It's not because they were good police cars compared to the new stuff. They were just... they had all the
infrastructure's already there
and shizzle. So
that's the thing, they're scared of making rash decisions with fleet markets, and the police apparently bought lots of Rover P6s for that reason, I think, when Rover changed from the P6 to the SD1.
And then the senator, the egg crate grill senator, I tried to get to the bottom of this story for my Boring Car Trivia books, and I've never been able to get a credible, solid answer on it. But the urban legend is that GM said, we're going to stop making the Senator, and British police forces went, shit, we'd like a load more, please. And
They started rioting.
They literally, but they had riot shields as well, so quite an intimidating sort of...
They threw bricks out of their own windows from inside. So,
released CS gas
and one
on themselves.
And one riot squad who were off shift had to deal with the riot squad that were on shift because they were rioting.
the senator riots of the mid 90s.
It's well known.
Senate, very ugly.
Oh, and it's so complicated as well. So complicated.
Well, whose side are you on? I don't know.
Both of
them. These people are very bulky these days, aren't they? Like, not physically, but their uniforms. They're just like, have you ever been in sort of like in a smallish space with a police officer? They're like,
yeah,
it's like
there's a lot going on.
They've got all that sort of stuff, a lot of gubbins on their uniforms. Their uniforms seem to make them sort of like twice the size that they really are inside, like sort of superheroes. And I don't know how much is deliberate to make them seem like sort of more intimidating presences, but if you're trying to get down a corridor that's quite narrow past a police officer...
You can't.
They're too bulky. It must be really hard to run in that shit.
It kind of reminds me of when I first became a parent and you got to take a lot of baby-related paraphernalia around with you. And I remember several times I was like... I said to my wife, that's it. I'm not taking a rucksack out today. I'll put what we need in our pockets. I just don't want to carry lots of bags. I'm fed up with it.
Yeah.
And of course, you quickly realise you've got to carry around so many things. You need a coat with a lot of pockets.
Yeah.
And I just look like a rubbish undercover policeman with all the paraphernalia, but just not in its official. If I was to fall over, I'd really hurt myself because there's loads of just sharp implements in my own pockets.
I forgot. For some reason, I've got nail scissors in a breast pocket and now I've just punctured a lung. Yeah, it's... Oh, man, don't get me started on that. What were we saying? Oh, yes, no, your Tokyo Taxi is... So that's your 2021 project. Are we going to meet up and I go for a little ride in that car and hopefully do a little video?
Richard.
For next year,
we are. Yeah. So there's that, and I'm gonna. I was going to finish it this year. I am going to finish the Chevrolet Impala. The Dodge, unless I go completely bankrupt, is staying, and the Jimny will stay, and probably get a few more mods. And the Figaro's going EV.
Oh yeah.
So there's some exciting things. But I mean, I can't plan too far ahead. But I'd like to, and hopefully, I've got a sponsor on board to mean that I do a little bit more than break even, which would be nice. Be really nice. And then one day, hopefully, this podcast might make us some money, and we can go out and buy that unbelievably hideous but fantastic limousine that seems to appear with pictures on Facebook, which I just think is you and I in a car. Like, that is it for us.
I'm still holding out for the old V8 Sherpa ambulance that we turn into a mobile studio that never goes anywhere because it's broken permanently. I feel like that's very high idle. That's my dream. It does always sit a bit high on the idle. I did mention this on Twitter the other day. I just sort of vaguely floated the idea that we might do a Patreon for this podcast, and people seem to be broadly sort of on board with the idea because we are going to carry on this show in 2021, but obviously it has to, in accountancy terms, wipe its own arse because we're both busy and we are also both self-employed. So if we could make it at least sort of pay for itself a little bit, that would be nice. So we may be troubling you to put your hands in your pockets if you enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy the show, then
do you know what I was going to say was if for the price of an extremely rancid cup of coffee a week, so if you, I don't know if you've ever been to like one of your kids like school fetes, or you've been to a little family get together where there's only instant coffee. I'm starting to sound like a coffee snob, but hear me out. Where you think, well, the money's ultimately going to charity, so it's okay. And you give your 80p or your £1, and you look at the coffee, and you just think, I'm just not going to drink that. I'm going to walk around with it in my hand for a bit and then put it down. If for the same price you get a Smith and Sniff a week, I think that's fairly good value. I'm just going to put that out there.
That's a hell of a sales pitch.
I think that's a sales pitch, but ultimately what I was going to say is also we're not expecting everybody to like pay money to listen to Smith and Sniff at all.
No, it's. I mean, I think
it's totally
Patreon
optional.
Is quite good, isn't it? Because it's just, you could say, look, if you enjoy this and you're feeling generous, we appreciate your throwing a couple of coins into our begging bowl. But it just helps us to carry on doing it and justify doing it because we are both self-employed and we both need to earn money somehow.
I realised we've done Smith and Sniff in video and podcast form. Obviously FOC. Well, it's actually cost you and I money because that's how good we are at business. It's cost us money to make a free video.
Well, yeah, because we got that
people.
Watch sponsor for the videos, but then we blew it all on having them edited by someone who knows how to edit properly.
So we've never made any money.
Yes,
ever.
Rest assured, if you're thinking, well, I'd like to give those guys some money, but they're always crapping on about these cars they've got, so they're clearly loaded. No, we're not, and we are incredibly bad at business. And rest assured, we have never made money off.
Of Smith and
this.
Sniff? No, never, because my wife, that's why my wife hates me for it. She doesn't ever listen to Smith and Sniff on principle because it's never made it, me and us any money.
Okay, so.
She said she will listen to it on the day when it makes money.
Okay, well, here we go then. So, 2021, we will be back. We're going to be back. We're going to take a couple of weeks off. We'll be back on the 11th of January. That's the plan at the moment. Full of vim and vigour and determined to spite Johnny's wife. So there will be a Patreon, I think, in the new year. And if you want to force Johnny's wife, who some of you may have seen in a couple of Johnny's videos, if you want to force her to listen to this podcast out of spite, then please do give us some money. We might even record her. Maybe you could video her while she's forced to listen to it with headphones on. You don't hear what she's hearing. You'll just see her face as it gradually becomes more and more despairing.
The eyes will roll.
The kind of absolute arse water that we tend to cover on this show.
Arse water is what I call that really healthy coconut water. Because you know the stuff I mean, where you can't decide whether it tastes okay or not, but
what,
you
like
know
the
it's
smell, the smell underneath a leather watch strap. Yeah, it's no, because you bought me a bottle of it once when we were out and about last year.
Oh yeah,
and then when here I bought you this, try it. It's not very nice, which is as sales pitches go, it's pretty much.
It's a bit like a post. It's a little sort of a post Joe Wicks workout scrotal secretion. Yeah, it's just a,
okay.
Just
well, that rounds out the set. We did earwax. We've done the smell of snot, and now here we are. With,
yeah, little bit of
post workout secretions. it's a good time to bring this
it's
into
very
land,
John
I
Peel
suppose.
Though.
Oh, we didn't. Yes, our other contribution, I suppose, aside from Spoetsa, I get messages if we don't spot a John Peel band name and call it out on the podcast. People send messages saying, "Oh, you missed a sitter there." Which and now I what did you say? Scrotal residue or something.
Scrotal secretions or.
All right, live in session tonight. We've got three tracks from Scrotal Secretions. A little Christmas treat for you there.
It's not a Christmas
sure
treat.
It's on at the right speed. Okay.
They were supporting Jules Zone Climate, who are fantastic fans. Very, they stand up for what they believe in.
Low Horatio gearbox.
Yes.
We've been quite a few. Take your pick. And on that note, do keep writing in, sending us messages on Twitter, all of that sort of stuff. We do like to hear from you, and I apologise. I'm going to set up an auto-reply on the email because we get loads of emails, and I'd never really get the chance to reply to most of them, and we do obviously read some of them out on the show, but rest assured, they're all read. I promise you that I do read them all, and some of them are absolutely fantastic. I've saved a few that we will... In a future show, I'll read out as a couple of really good stories that I've been sent, which are worth sharing. In the meantime, though, we really should bring this to an end, and I will do so by telling you three things. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, full of many excellent videos for your entertainment. Go on there right now. You will see a test of the Fiat 500e and what was the new thing that you just did?
I did modifications to my wife's Suzuki Jimny.
Your Jimny with your brother, yes.
I'll reveal this now. I think when this comes out, you will have a fresh Late Break Show idle chat, which will be a sit-down chairs chat in a very special place with two British touring car legends, Jason Plato and Matt Neal. Arch rivals in the room, in the brown chairs, on video.
What else would I have? Yes, the second thing I have to tell you is that I still have a book out, two books, several books really, but the one I'm hawking like a cheap hooker is Boring Car Trivia Volume 2, which is still available through Amazon. Probably too late now to get it for Christmas, but get it anyway because it's full of very arcane information about cars, if you like that sort of thing. And the third thing I have to tell you is that Merry Christmas Everybody by Slade is often regarded as the quintessential British Christmas hit, but it was actually recorded in New York City at the height of summer.
Is that true?
Yeah, and better yet, to get the vocal sound thereafter, with a sort of a lot of space and reverb on it, they ended up recording in the corridor outside the studio, which was in a tower block in New York City, which is surrounded by offices. So there were people walking by, going to their offices, whilst Noddy Holder and the rest of Slade were shouting about Christmas in Midlands accents in at the height of a heat wave in New York.
How strange. So it would have felt very un-Christmassy to have watched that pan out.
Very un-Christmassy, yeah. September, I think it was September 1973 they recorded that song. I did some research for this one and everything because I was like, oh, I better do a Christmassy fact at the end. So
it was you that influenced me to tell my daughter, because you found online that one where someone has sung that whole song using the first line.
Oh, yeah.
And she still thinks it's hilarious. In fact, when we started putting the Christmas decorations up this year, that's what she said. She said, can we listen? Are you hanging up? You're stuck in
You know, there's one as well. Someone's done one. You know, sort of using the amazing power of computers these days, you can do, you know, sort of auto-tune stuff so that you can distort the melody to fit differently. Someone's done Don't You Want Me by the Human League, but where it's just you are working as a waitress in a cocktail bar over and over again, but with to the rest of the melody of the song. It's deranged.
Brilliant.
But I would still urge you to go and listen to it on YouTube if you're bored. Thank you ever so much for listening to not just this podcast, but all of these podcasts throughout the year, or certainly since we started this earlier in the year. Your support does mean a great deal to us, and all of your messages and things are very kind, and we will do more of this again in 2021.
Yeah, thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful Christmas, and if you are indeed driving home for Christmas, drive carefully.
Merry Christmas everyone, see you next year. Bye bye.
Goodbye. Are you hanging up?
I need to get to my office, please. No, sir, can you stop?
Why are you hanging up? You're stuck in on your wall. Are you hanging up? You're stuck in on the back of your wall.